today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, not too surprising that formal complaints against the airlines jumped by over 500% last year, considering the refund versus voucher fiasco. And tourism destinations around our state hope for limited spring openings. Details next in the news.
A few weeks ago, it looked like the cruise season in Alaska might be doomed, but now lots of people are trying to avoid a shutdown. An update on work north and south of the border in our Smarter Traveler segment coming up at 3:20.
Chris Elliott used to have a weekly column in the travel section of the Sacramento Bee. The travel section is no more, so Chris joins us on a regular basis here. Today he talks about those air credits you got last year, the ones that could be expiring soon. Chris comes up at 3:35.
And at 3:50, we close with a very quick deep dip into our TravelGuysRadio.com mailbag. Mark answers questions on summer overseas travel, making reservations for an ocean-going cruise, and bringing food on airplanes.
Every Sunday at 3 p.m., we take people on a little bit of a journey. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
My friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. Beautiful Sunday afternoon. By golly, the last show of February, by golly. It's a new month right on top of us. Sun is shining. Spring training baseball has begun. And Giants are playing their first practice game. It's crazy, Mark.
It's springtime, and people are going to start traveling soon. I'm sort of kind of maybe hoping that the safety level is increasing. People are talking about going back to school and doing all of these other things. Normalcy could be just around the corner.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I understand there's some good news on the front there at Sports Leisure Vacations. Tell us about it.
As a perhaps reflection of what we were just talking about, the first our first tour group to depart in 4 months left this morning on an all-coach tour through some historic towns in Nevada and all the way down as long as Laughlin. It's a trip that has survived many years. It kind of used to be a gambler's special for a long time, but looking at the folks this morning, I sense that it was more folks who just like off-the-beaten-track places. You know, they're going to be in some of them are staying in the Mitzpah Hotel in Tonopah this evening, some folks that we talked to not too long ago. So they will be out on the road for 6 days. There are 20 people on a 55-passenger motor coach. They are all masked up and following various protocols and stuff like that. So I think they'll be very safe. We have a policy about vaccines and testing and stuff like that that's going into effect in a couple of weeks before the next trip goes out. But so this was the only trip to get out without that policy in effect. And I took an anonymous survey of the customers today, of the travelers, asked them to check a box on a piece of paper, fold up the paper and just give it back to us. We didn't care who had what, but we just wanted as a curiosity to know of these 20 people who weren't told you have to do this or you have to do that, what did they choose to do on their own? 70% of them have already had one vaccine shot, so that means they have some reasonable amount of protection. 15% of them have already had two shots, and the other 15% of them are Kaiser patients. And I just saw literally today where Kaiser announced that people 65 plus now could start making appointments for their vaccine shot. So based on vaccine availability, everybody that could have a shot that was on that coach had one. What it means is that with 17 out of 20 people in some stage of vaccination, the chances of that group having any kind of issues are really, really very, very slim. because they can't community spread it around to each other. Mathematically, it would be very, very difficult. So I was really encouraged, not only for my travelers, but just for travel as a whole. These are mature travelers. I think these are folks who are smart enough to get the vaccine when the opportunity presents itself, barring any other personal complications. And a large percentage of them on their own said, I'm about to travel with a group of people. I need to make this a priority and take care of this. And they did. So I'm just tickled to death because it means for us that our folks will. We talked last week that mature travelers were some of the first people out of the pool and that they might be some of the first people back into the pool. And indeed, I do believe that that's going to be the case. I think that hotels and stuff will be glad to see us. We have one trip on the schedule for March and two for April. And then we're hoping to gear things up a little bit more in May and June, mostly staying closer to home, though. A lot of the longer distance trips and all of the across the pond stuff is gone until the fall. So we're being very conservative. We're just trying to drive around the block and have a little fun.
Well, good for you guys. Good for you. You know, one of the things that really excites me, and I think everybody can identify with this, whether it's during the pandemic or any time, when you say there's only 20 people on a bus that seats 55, everyone gets pretty excited about that because that means more legroom, more space. You know, you're not all crunched together. It's just a visual that excites me. But then again, I'm kind of simple that way.
Well, and also just, you know, I don't want to spend all day on this, but the people who travel with my company, we talk often about how we're a big travel family, and it's easy to say that, but the reality is that they look out for each other. And so it would be irresponsible to get into a situation like this and not try on some level to be concerned about it. So I'm really encouraged because I think it means that people who want to travel, not just mature travelers, but I'm hoping all travelers will follow the Fauci, take advantage of the opportunity to get whatever vaccine presents itself when it does, and we'll all be out traveling together much more safely than we have in the past. We probably should get on to the travel news here, or we're going to talk ourselves through the whole hour.
Yeah, let's do that. Follow the Fauci. I like that. At the top of every Travel Guy show or somewhere near there, we bring you up to date on the travel news.
I like that.
With the travel news, here comes Mark.
Somewhere near there. The big story this week is that airline complaints have been released by the Department of Transportation. And the reason it's big news is because the complaints went up over 500% in a year. And then when you get the report, it's about an 80-page report. I've spent a couple, 3 hours with it because that's just what I do with my life. And looking over this, you can see that almost the entire increase, Tom, the complaints went from 15,000 and change in 2019 to 102,000 and change last year. There are 88,000 more complaints about refunds. The difference between those two numbers is about 87,000. So there you go, is that the complaints increases all had to do with refunds, with fares, which I'm going to suggest to you was probably in some way tied to refunds. Complaints about baggage and customer service and delays and cancellations and all those things went way down because, of course, there weren't as many airplanes, so there weren't as many delays. Mm-hmm. And since there weren't as many flights, there weren't as many cancellations. So people didn't miss connections or have screwy things happen to them that they blamed on the airlines. And so literally all of that increase is people complaining about refunds or lack thereof. And then you can dig a little bit deeper and you can see it where it's broken down by airline. And you can see that there are airlines that don't do well in this metric of how well did they respond to passengers. And I'm going to tell you that Frontier Airlines is head and shoulders above everybody else. And it's not number of complaints. It's number of complaints per 100,000 people that board your aircraft. So the big guy and the little guy are equally compared.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So Frontier has 9.5 complaints per 100,000 people boarding. Southwest Airlines, which is towards the bottom, has 1.2. So Remember how we said there was over 500% more increase in complaints? Well, that's more than 500% more just between airlines. So I'm going to suggest to you, as we've mentioned before, that those cheap air tickets come with a price. It's fine if the flight goes and you're willing to not put something in the overhead and sit in the middle seat and you're okay with that. But at the end of the day, if the flight doesn't go and you have complications, there's very little customer service behind those carriers, and then you've got a problem. So for those of you, and Chris Elliott is going to address this issue at the bottom of the hour, but for those of you who have credits from airlines, particularly from some of these low fare carriers, be careful, because they're not going to let you weasel out of them, because it's a big deal to them. Okay, we mentioned in the headlines that California tourism entities are trying to get back going again. Many of them are lobbying the governor quite heavily. The Disneyland folks, who had been kind of quiet for the last 3 or 4 months now and had talked about opening up California Adventure on a limited basis in a couple of weeks, now want to see Disneyland open by the time we get to Easter. They say they've done it in Florida, and there's no reason that they can't do it in California. And my guess is that it's a possibility. If the number the reinfection numbers keep coming down, and the number of people hospitalized and the strain on the hospital system continues to be lessened some, I think you're going to see limited folks at tourism attractions, at museums, and the like. The numbers will be limited, but I think that we're going to start seeing that fairly soon. My guess is probably within the next 30 days. If you're going on an airplane, be very careful if you take pepper spray with you. Because you might be like the passenger on the United flight in Southwest Florida the other day. They were on the runway in Fort Myers, and the passenger had accidentally hit the pepper spray on his keychain and set it off. Oops. And nailed a couple of other passengers. And so the plane had to return to the you're actually allowed to bring a small container of mace or pepper spray in checked baggage, as long as it has a safety mechanism to prevent accidental discharge. The key phrase there is checked baggage.
Yeah.
So, yes. And so the passenger had to get off the plane. But anyway, just make sure you're pepper spray, because that would really be alarming. I don't know about you, but when I sit down in the airplane, pepper spray is one of the things that I'm really not too concerned about. American Airlines has gotten creative. They are going to allow you to use Advantage Miles to pay for your COVID-19 test kits. The at-home kits that are available from American Airlines, you're going to see a lot more of these in the next few weeks. It's called Let's Get Checked, and it costs you 12,000 miles. So if you're flying on American Airlines and you need to get a COVID test done, my guess is that maybe even if you weren't flying on American Airlines, if you're willing to part with 12,000 miles, which I'm going to suggest you ought to be worth about $150, then go for it. Cruise ships have been docking in Florida, Tom, in the last few weeks, and is getting people all excited, except that all they're doing now is putting on supplies and enough crew to be able to go out in the ocean, make sure everything is still working, and then they're going to show the government that they know what they're doing. And then we're going to have people back on cruise ships. Of course, this is what they told us in the fall. So we'll see. If they're hoping, it looks like they're shooting for sometime late summer, which is just about peak hurricane season in Florida. So their timing is just basically pretty impeccable. And that, sir, is your travel news for today.
And thank you. We are the Travel Guys. And by the way, a lot of the stuff we talk about, links to our special guests, including Chris Elliott later on in the show, can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. And speaking of cruises, you know, we were talking about cruise season in Alaska possibly being doomed. Well, maybe not necessarily. Let's find out in our Smarter Travel segment coming up next, right here on the Travel Guys.
737 coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight ride? I won't move.
Oh, yeah, boy, I tell you, the energy is just so high here on the Travel Guys. By the way, if you're just joining us, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, every Sunday, 3 to 4, and at TravelGuysRadio.com. Okay, Mark, what's the latest on the research? What's going on with Alaska and possibility of any kind of a cruise season. What do you know?
Well, before we get to that, can I just make one little thing?
Little comment? Are you sure?
I wish I could talk as fast as the lady at the end of the Farmers commercial there. She said more in 5 seconds. I can't remember a damn thing she said, but in 5 seconds she was, boy, I'll tell you what, they just wound her up and off she went. Anyways,
okay.
I'm easily amused, especially on Sunday afternoons. I'm giddy today because I have some people traveling for the first time in 4 months. So
you
I'm
should
happy.
Be. This is fabulous news.
It is, and the fact that folks are getting vaccinated and stuff like that. There's a lot of folks who for whom travel is really a big part of their life, and those of us who like to travel. We've been kind of missing something. Hey, before we get to this Alaska thing, somebody sent me a thing to travelguysradio.com while we were on the break there, and I wanted to answer them. They said, okay, you told us Frontier Airlines was down at the bottom of the list. Who else was down there with them? I have to tell you this. Frontier is so by themselves that it's alarming. They have 30% more complaints per 100,000 boardings on the plane than anybody else. So that's but the other people who are down there wallowing a little bit, there's kind of a tier below them. They've got 9.5 complaints per 100,000. And these are people around between 5 and 6. Hawaiian, United, Spirit, our other low carrier friend, and Alaska. And then it starts to drop off. JetBlue, American. This is in getting better order now. Allegiant, and then you've got a bunch of the and then Delta and Southwest, and the top five are all regional carriers for the other people. So they tend to not get the complaints. When you get on a Delta plane that's operated by Republic Airways, people don't send their complaint to Republic Airways. They send it to Delta. So that's the lesser carriers tend to get off a little bit easier there because sometimes people don't complain directly about them. Okay. You want to take a trip to Alaska this summer and take a cruise, something you've had your heart set on. Maybe you had your heart set on it last year and you didn't get to go. And then comes the news that Canada says no cruise ships with more than 100 passengers can dock in their waters this year. And so you say, well, wow, that kind of shoots the whole cruise season to Alaska to hell. And why is that? Well, there's an old thing called the Passenger Vessel Services Act of 1886, also known as the Jones Act, which forces U.S. non-U.S. flagships that are taking off from a U.S. port and returning to a U.S. port to stop at a foreign port somewhere along the way. So it's an old law. It's tied into labor laws and some things like that. We'll spend half an hour on it someday if it doesn't go away. But right now, on Thursday, they had a congressional meeting. On Friday, Alaska's Congressman Don Young and Senator Lisa Murkowski announced that they are working on a bill to amend the old shipping law to rescue the 2021 Alaska cruise season. Now, of course, they're going to have Canada's cooperation with this. But as we were trying to explain to folks previously, these calls are what they call maintenance calls or service calls. You'll see them on ship itineraries. You see them on trips to Southern California from the San Francisco area. They'll make a service call in Ensenada, technically on the other side of the border. Trips that are going to Alaska will make a service call in Victoria or Vancouver. Sometimes it's only an hour stop. Nobody gets off the vessel except the captain. He hands the dockmaster some papers. The dockmaster signs off and off the ship goes. So that's what they're trying. This law has basically banned that. Canada has said, no, we're not going to take you. Without the ability to make those calls, they can't obey the law and sail from Seattle to Alaska and back. So that's what the cruise lines are facing. So now what we have is congressmen and senators from Alaska who have stepped up and said, I hope they've said, this is a tad ridiculous, that an entire cruise season for Alaska would be shut down over something like this. Now, it does not necessarily mean if they get this changed that there will be a cruise season in Alaska this summer, because it hasn't yet been determined that it's safe for people to be on cruise ships and how the cruise ships are going to handle that. But if you're not allowed to stop, then there isn't a season. So I think they're trying to build this one step at a time. Congressman Young from Alaska said, and I quote, if cruises can safely proceed, and I believe they can, then we ought to be doing everything possible to alleviate the stress and anxiety of families whose livelihoods depend on tourists coming to Alaska to experience our great state. The pandemic devastated Alaska's 2020 cruise season. We must not allow the same thing to happen to 2021 season. Of course, the reason this impacts the cities is because some of the cruises will leave from Alaskan cities and come southbound. Many times people will stay over in the port that they start or finish in. So they'll add a couple of days in Anchorage. There'll be all kinds of packages that the cruise lines will offer that will allow you to go exploring to Fairbanks and Denali and all of that kind of stuff. So this all that means money for the folks who are on the shore. Now, Canada's order to prohibit cruises includes language that says the ban could be lifted if the pandemic eases in Canada. Canada has had its own challenges with vaccine rollout, and just Friday they authorized the AstraZeneca vaccine, which gives them three now, Moderna, Pfizer, and AstraZeneca. So that should speed up vaccinations there. So it's possible that between Congress, and heaven forbid Congress would actually get something done, but between Congress and Canada, it's possible that there may be a cruise ship season in Alaska this summer. I'm sort of kind of betting on it, if the cruise ships get the go-ahead, that they will figure this other thing out. So that'll give you a little bit of an update. And watch this space. We'll try to give you updates along the way.
All right. Coming up after the news right here on The Travel Guys, Chris Elliott, consumer advocate, joins us. We're going to talk about those air credits. Are they going to go away? How's that going to work? That's coming up here on The Travel Guys.
737 coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight?
Road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Hey there, everybody. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Time to bring Chris Elliott back onto the program. Consumer advocate, writer in the Washington Post. If we had a travel section in the B, he would be there too. Hint, hint.
Yeah, it used to be.
So at
used
least,
to be.
There you go. So at least, my friends and listeners to the Travel Guys, you get a chance to get updates and enjoy Chris Elliott. Chris, how you doing, my friend?
Very good. How are you?
All righty. You still in Sedona?
I am, yes.
Anyways, Chris, you have pointed out here that we are coming up on something. It's actually already starting to happen to people who only had 1 year, were only given 1 year to use their refunded money, their vouchers with tour companies and airlines and a variety of different places. Your article says how airlines plan to keep $13 billion with a B of your money. Unused ticket credits will expire soon, and there's almost nothing you can do about it. Chris, what can we do about it?
Yes, the operative word there is almost. You can do something about it. As I noted in this article, the airlines offered people a ticket credit after this wave of cancellations that happened, you know, just after the coronavirus outbreak and the lockdown started. And we thought it was a great deal because they were offering up to 2 years, so 24 months of ticket validity instead of the traditional 12 months. The other thing that the airline industry did, which was nice at the time, was to drop some of their change fees. So you get to keep most of that money. But no one could have foreseen that the pandemic would last as long as it did. And so now, because of the way that they've offered this credit, and most people don't realize that it's valid from the day of your booking, not from the day you were supposed to fly. So for a lot of people, even with the 24 months of validity, their credits are starting to expire now.
Yeah, Chris, what's happening now is that, and for folks who are out there who maybe don't have one of these credits and are wondering why we're talking about it, let's pretend that last year you planned to travel in March and you couldn't travel. Well, maybe you bought that ticket in September the previous September because you knew you were going to travel and you wanted to get it. There was a good fare, and so you locked it in. And now you couldn't travel, so the airline said you can have 24 months to use it. Well, that's great. That's a 24-month window. But the 24 months is from September, not from last March. So guess what? You're now 17 months into that 24 months. And if you don't use those vouchers by September, they're going to expire. Will you even be able to travel to the destination that you had intended to travel to by September? So that's the problem that people face. And Chris, are we seeing any, are the airlines wavering at all on this? Or they, do you think that there's a possibility that they might be bullied into extending this 24-month period?
Maybe. In some cases, they are. I mean, the way that you described it is great. It's, this thing is right in our face. It's an imminent thing that a lot of people are going to be facing in the early fall, probably, because that's, as you say, typically when those flights are booked for the next year. Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, if the airline canceled your flight, you're entitled to a full refund. If they automatically converted it into a credit, they did the wrong thing. And so what you need to do is contact the airline if your flight was canceled by the airline and say, look, you guys canceled the flight and gave me a voucher. I want a full refund. Under DOT rules, the Department of Transportation, you are entitled to a full refund. So don't let them get away with extending your voucher. Get your money back. If you canceled the flight, not the airline, and they gave you a 24-month voucher, you can still call and ask for an extension. I've talked to a lot of travelers who say they did that, and the airline was very quick to offer them an additional 6 months or an additional year. So asking, it can't hurt.
Chris, we gave these airlines tens of billions of dollars twice. It's possible we may have to do it a third time. Doesn't it seem to you that somewhere there's there's either a PR gambit in here, or somewhere in here there should be a congressman or a senator who stands up and says, look, this can't happen?
Oh, yeah, without question. Yeah. The airlines have received somewhere in the vicinity of $10 billion per round of bailout. So we had first one in spring, then we had another one in the fall. Now it looks like there's another bill that just passed. So we're going to get round three. But this, if you take all of the money that's outstanding right now in terms of ticket credits, and you run a couple of calculations, one estimate said that 55% of all ticket credits are going to expire by the end of this year, potentially unused. That's $13 billion. That's the equivalent of one more airline bailout. So they would be getting a total of four bailouts, no strings attached, not even, you know, a rule that would allow people who are sick to get a refund. Nothing like that. Children, you know, families sitting together. That's another rule that a lot of consumer advocates were asking for. Nothing like that. So this is really an unprecedented. This bailout is coming close to the size of the car industry bailout in 2008, 2009. It's starting to be a little bit ridiculous, I think.
It just concerns me that we've spent a lot of taxpayer dollars, and the airlines, you know, they buckled under pressure a little bit last summer when they backed off of the cancellation fees. It seems like if there was enough pressure in the right places that they could add another year to this and say, look, all right, we'll make it 36 months instead of 24. But don't come back and ask us again, because this is not going to happen any more times.
Yeah, look, these ticket credits shouldn't be expiring at all. We should be able to use them whenever we want to. You know, in a typical year, 5 to 10% of all ticket credits go unused. And that means that the airlines get to keep 5 to 10% of your money if you change your flight. The important thing for your listeners is that if you do have a ticket credit, check it. By all means, check it as soon as possible, because it might expire. It probably will expire sooner than you think.
Remember, it's not the date of travel in most cases here we're talking about. It's the date you bought the ticket, which could be up to 11 months before you actually travel. That's when that 24-month thing starts ticking. So when you get done listening to the radio show, or go in the other room right now and look and see what day you bought that ticket. Chris, in your article that you penned about this situation, you had some tips, three of them, for folks for getting a ticket credit extension. Can you share those with our listeners?
Yeah, you know, you obviously you should ask your airline as soon as possible. If you call your airline you will probably get at least a 6-month extension. There are other options as well. For example, Southwest Airlines will allow you to convert your credit into points, and those points won't expire. So ask your airline if there are any additional options. And finally, if that doesn't work, call the Department of Transportation or email them. You can go online. There's a form that you can fill out and let them know that the airline is keeping your money. They may be able to help you too.
And again, it's kind of if you don't ask, and please don't wait until the last minute or until after the credit has already expired to fight your battle. It's a, your chances of winning are much greater, or getting a concession of some type are much greater if you approach the airline before that expiration date. So do it while the credit is still active. Chris, anything else that we need to that we should share with folks? We're getting closer to being able to travel. You flat out told people not to travel over the winter, and I sense that now you're getting a little bit closer to travel, but you're still telling people, listen, this is no time to let your guard down.
The thing that I'm looking at is the CDC, and if the CDC says that you can travel, we can travel. Right now, they're still saying don't travel. So I really can't tell people that it's okay to travel. People are obviously going to make their decisions based on their risk factors and that their own health. It's great that we're all getting our shots. It's funny that we're all three of us are getting our shots within the same week. And so maybe the three of us should take a trip together. I don't know. But certainly we're getting very, very close, I think, to being able to go. And I would expect that sometime in the next couple of weeks, the CDC might start to change its tune a little bit.
Chris, do you think will all of the airlines make it?
We've already had some smaller bankruptcies. I think that there's already some buzz that maybe a couple of airlines are going to start merging. Remember that the airlines are on life support right now. They're getting this third bailout, or really fourth bailout after our discussion. So we may have to wait until the end of the year until one or two airlines starts getting in some financial distress before a clearer picture begins to emerge.
Chris, thank you as always for your expertise. A reminder to folks, if you have a major consumer problem, not just a travel problem, but any type of consumer problem, you can go to Elliott.org, 2 L's and 2 T's. And there are a variety of resources there to help you help yourself. And if you get into a spot where it's beyond what you can do, they do have a staff of volunteers. And in some cases, they can assist you in your journey to try to get a refund or get a satisfactory resolution to whatever customer service issue that you have. It's an all-volunteer organization. And a couple of times a year, Chris does fundraisers to help cover the costs. So those of us at the Travel Guys chip in on your behalf. So if you feel like you have a need for his services, go online and tell him you're from Sacramento and you listen to him on the Travel Guys, and I'm sure that they will help you. Chris, thanks again, buddy, for your time, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right.
There you go. Don't forget now, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. You'll find a link to Chris Elliott and all that he does. All right, coming up, we're going to dip into the Travel Guys mailbag, answer some questions right here on the Travel Guys Radio Show. Live and direct from the Sports Leisure Vacations headquarters and my house.
And Romano Studios.
Romano Studios. You know, this is the only thing I do in this room. I see a tax deduction in my future.
We have three actual, quote, studios here at Sports Leisure. We have the radio studio in my office. Then Clayton does Channel 6 stuff from other places, because you know they're all on Zoom and stuff, remotes, when they're asking for
right.
pledges and stuff. So he does those things from other places here. So it's practically, the whole place is practically just set up as a television and radio studio. We don't really do any actual travel business here. Hey, we have some folks who have written into the mailbag here. We haven't done this for a few weeks, and we got a little bit of a backlog, and I thought some of the questions were pretty good. So let's see if we can answer a few of them quickly here.
All right, right. Once again, Mark is referring to TravelGuysRadio.com. That's our website, and there you can leave us questions that we will answer on the air. And if not, then Mark will answer your questions too. to you direct when he has a free moment. All right, let's begin with Robert in Rockland. Robert says that he and his wife have a tour on Italy booked for August. Is there anything that that we can do to protect our $1,200 deposit that they've made? They're going with what is it? Perillo Tours.
Yeah, that's right. Perillo,
which has been in business for a long time. What recommendation do you have for them, Mark, to protect that $1,200 deposit?
Well, first of all, they have picked an excellent tour company. Coincidentally, that company has contacted us in the last week and inquired if we would be interested in speaking to Steve Perillo, who is one of the really the oldest folks in the tour industry. And so I indicated that we would be. They are an excellent company. They have an excellent product, a great reputation. They didn't have I went online and looked, and they didn't have a lot of customer complaints and things like that over the last year in regards to refunds and stuff of that sort. So from a company standpoint, they seem to be in good shape. Robert, if you took cancellation protection of some kind or some kind of cancellation insurance when you started this, you're covered in case something bad should happen to you. COVID is generally not covered by most cancellation protection. It's a pandemic, and it's not considered to be one of their covered things. You have to do something to protect your deposits at the time that you register or within a small window in order to get some type of coverage. Also, some companies offer insurance that includes cancel for any reason. If you cancel for any reason, sometimes it's not a cash refund. It's like a 75% credit for future use or something. Those tend to vary. Cancel with for any reason insurance is very expensive. It's gotten even more expensive after COVID. So I don't really recommend it. I don't think it's a good value for people. You're traveling with a good company. I think that you're going to be fine. If you took cancellation protection, you're in good shape. If you didn't, it's probably something that you should look at the front in the future.
All right. Our second question comes from Janice in Sacramento. Are there any limitations on bringing food on planes during COVID? We are flying to Arkansas next week and are going to be flying on some smaller planes connecting in Denver. Will there be any places to eat in the airports? Great question, Janice.
Yeah, it is a good question. Concessions in airports have come back somewhat, but remembering that only about 40 to 45% of the people year over year are flying on any given day compared to what it was before COVID. So most major airports, including Sacramento, you're going to find about half of the food outlets open and other outlets that are serving and selling different things to travelers. So yes, limited, depending on the length of your connection, will determine whether or not you'll have time to go into some of those places. You are limited by TSA. Of course, you can't bring liquids except for hand sanitizer in your carry-on luggage. Things like pies and jellies and stuff like that don't do well with security, but things, and of course, soups and stuff wouldn't be okay. Sandwiches, stuff like that can be fine. Please, as a courtesy to the other people that you're flying with, don't bring anything odoriferous on the plane. Maybe bring something with a lot of garlic or something that's a foreign smell to everybody else on the airplane, then some people are probably not going to think too highly of you when you open it up and you start chowing down, particularly those people who are sitting next to you. So the most important thing is remember liquids when it comes to TSA, and then remember things that might not be pleasant, you know, fish dishes and, like I said, garlic and heavy spices and stuff like that. But otherwise, I in fact recommend you throw your favorite protein bar or something like that. Throw a couple of them into your carry-on or your purse or whatever that is. And that way, if you never know when you're going to be on an airplane and something weird is going to happen. You're going to get in 4 hours late at 12:30 at night and there's not any place to get anything to eat and you're starving to death. So a good traveler always has a meal in reserve somewhere on their body.
You know, have things changed? What's the latest in regards to what the airline is providing on a flight these days? I know for a long time, during the pandemic, they were handing out a lot of stuff that was packaged. What do you know?
Same deal. It's pretty much stayed that way. The airlines are trying to have as little physical contact with customers as possible, including handing things to you. So you're looking at sealed bottles of water. and little snacks and things that you can that they can hand to you while they are still sealed. So that's why it's important to bring things of your own on the plane.
There you go. You know, there. I don't know about you, Mark. There are certain foods that don't bother me if I'm eating them at the same time. But like, for instance, Doritos.
Uh-huh.
If I'm eating Doritos while somebody else is eating Doritos, I'm fine.
Uh-huh.
But the smell of Doritos that somebody else is eating while I'm not is another story. Okay, enough of that. Rolf in Elk Grove writes, when do you think it'll be safe to travel on a cruise ship? We're looking at an itinerary in South America for the fall. Any thoughts or wisdoms to share, Mark?
I'm not a big fan of cruise ships right now, so I'm probably not the person to ask. Until someone shows me, convinces me that you can travel safely. Now, I'm not talking about river cruises or ships with 50 or 60 or 70 or even 125 passengers on that stop frequently and have much better ventilation and stuff. I'm talking about big ocean-going cruise ships. That's not my thing. So I'm probably not necessarily the guy to ask. The CDC yet has not given clearance to cruise ships. We talked a little bit in the news about how the ships now are docking in Florida, picking up skeleton crews, doing system checks and all that stuff. And now their job is going to be to convince the CDC and other government officials that they can safely put people on cruise ships. And how many people can they put on? A cruise line has to operate at 75-80% capacity in order to break even. So I'm not sure how that lines up with keeping people socially distanced on ships and stuff, but I suspect we're going to find out in the next couple months. Rolf, an itinerary for South America for the fall, if it's late fall, then I think you got a shot. If it's early fall, be careful. The other thing is, think about the cities that you're going to start and finish in. Do your homework. What are the COVID rates and what's going on there? So, you know, think about more than just the ship. Think about where you have to fly into and fly out of and the ports of call along the way and stuff like that. Those are all things to consider if you're looking at a cruise right now. But nothing, I would wait probably for something international like that on another continent, at least till next fall, till the fall, if not next spring.
You know, and that holds true for regardless of where you're traveling. Make sure to do your homework. Find out if the destination that you're going to, the things that you are planning on seeing and doing, what their operation hours are, if they are operating, and what their rules and regs are. So, well, just about time to wrap up another Travel Guys radio show. Next week going to be pretty exciting. We have spent a little bit of time with Randy Perigary. He's got a brand new hotel, the Fort Sutter Hotel. We're going to talk a lot about that and what his life has been like running all those restaurants and business during the pandemic. Mark, some final words.
Yep, we're also going to take you on a virtual pub tour around Broadway in New York City. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next week.
Stay well, my friends.